Right. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Book of Revelation. In chapter 12, I'm going to begin in verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Verse 12, it says, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth. That's us. That's us. This world is a battlefield, not a playground. This life that we have, this time that we dwell in this earth, is not a safe place, and it's not a place to feel safe in. I think that's one of the biggest deceptions that there is in this world, is security and safety. Whenever we begin to think we're safe and we're secure and we're doing all right, there's a good chance that we've been deceived. I think that's one of the biggest tools that Satan has used to deceive people, is to lure them into security and safety. Whenever we become secure and safe, then we begin to let down our guard. And we begin to do things that we know that we shouldn't be doing. But we think we'll be all right. In Thessalonians, the Bible says that when men choose a path of their own way, that God Himself will give them over to delusion so that they'll believe a lie. I believe that delusion is security. The Bible says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. In In verse 9 it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, and that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world." You know, sometimes whenever we walk this path, it feels pretty lonely. Feels like we're all alone sometimes. And everyone, it seems, goes against and is opposed. Families, friends, everyone, it seems, and they make the argument, "Oh, who do you think you are that you would think that you're following the right path?" And they call us proud sometimes, or they call us arrogant because we would dare to say that we're following a straight and narrow path and we've found the way. And I just want to ask the question, what is more arrogant? To think that you're just okay and that everything's all right with you and that there's no reason to be alarmed, you feel secure and safe right in the middle of this devil's world? That's arrogance. That's pride. But for someone to say that the world is going the wrong way, and someone to stand up to that world and say, "You're going the wrong way." Is not arrogant and not prideful. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Jesus said to endure unto the end and you'll be saved. You know, if we would just look at the doctrine of the Christianity that the world offers, and if there was just a small group of people that came out and started saying that all you had to do was believe that Jesus died and you'd be saved, and that you could still live however you wanted to, if there was just a little bitty small group of people that believed that, everyone in the world would call them a cult. Because they'd think that's the most foolish thing that you could ever imagine. That you could just believe that Jesus died on a cross, and that because I believed that, I was saved, and now I don't have to do anything else. In fact, if I even try to do anything else, I'll be lost, because it'll show that I don't believe what Jesus did. If there was only a small group of people that believed that in the world, and we would hear of such a thing, everybody in the world would think that's crazy and that that's some kind of new cult going on. But the problem is, the whole world believes that. And so, it's just natural. It's just the way things are. And so we don't even question it hardly until we just really begin to study and look at the Bible. Preached a message a few years ago about if. Just the little word if. If you didn't do anything else in the Bible to get doctrine, but look where every word, every time that word if is used, if is a conditional word. If it rains today, what does that mean? It means if it rains, then the grass will grow. But if it doesn't rain, things will get dried out and burned up. Is that hard to understand? If? But yet, whenever we look in the Bible, when God uses the word if, it's almost like we go blind. Jesus talked about if you hear my words. Let's just look at a few of these verses. Luke chapter 12 and verse 45. Verse 41. Let's start in 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, or give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. If that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to be eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. If is a choice that you and I have to make. People get tripped up with some words sometimes, predestination, and they think, oh, God's got it all planned out anyway. Well, if God has it all planned anyway, He'd never use the word if in the Bible. Because if is up to you. Some things we can't control. If it rains, we can't control. But we can control if you will hear God's word and do it. You can control those things. You can control if you begin to get lackadaisical. And if you begin to say in your heart, My Lord delays his coming. And you begin to go along with the things of the world. You begin to slip back. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This world is not the friend to grace. It's not a friend to us. It's not a place to be comfortable. The idea that we can just be saved and be all right and just go to church and just continue on going through the motions, and we just think that, well, I'm saved, I'm a believer in Jesus, I'm following, and get secure in that, is dangerous. We don't understand, I don't think, the idea of the battlefield and the idea that we're in the war zone and that Satan is trying to kill you. He's not playing games. He's not shooting paint bullets. You know, they play war, army or play war with paint guns, and they shoot each other and you just get a little daub of paint on you if you get hit. Satan doesn't use paint bullets, or he doesn't use a BB gun. He uses real bullets that'll kill you. And that's his intent. He'll lie to you. He'll deceive you. He'll make your life so uncomfortable that you'll just want to get out of laying or carrying your cross. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How will we escape if we slip from what we're doing? Whenever we begin to let down our guard, we begin to go backwards. Going backwards, when you start sliding, it's hard to get stopped. Whenever you're going up a hill, one time when I was hauling cattle, I took a truck and there was a big hill and I had a big load of cattle and I took a run at this hill and I got almost to the top. And it was a big hill. It was a steep hill. And I got almost to the top. But then I quit moving forward. And whenever you're on a big hill like that, and you've got a big load, when you're not moving forward, you don't just stay where you're at. I don't know how many of you are back down a hill going 30 miles an hour with a load of cattle and a big trailer on for about maybe an eighth of a mile. But that's not a very nice situation. And the problem is, there ain't no stopping. When I tried to slam on the brakes, I lost control of how I was steering, because the tires locked up. There wasn't nothing I could do but ride it out. It was a dangerous situation. That's what it means to begin to slip. Whenever we begin to slip, there's only one way, there's only one other direction. And that's down, and that's just as fast as you went up. And you don't have much control over it. That's the problem with slipping. That's the problem with being in this world. Jesus came into this world because this world was His enemy. And He cared enough about it. He loved this world enough that He came into this world to try to rescue a few people out of it that had fallen into the snares of Satan. You know what this world did to Him? Did they welcome Him with open arms and love Him? He helped everyone that He came in contact with. He did good to all men. And the men, people should have loved Him. He healed people that were sick. He rose people from the dead. He fed the hungry. He did everything that should have made the world love Him. And they hated Him. And they murdered Him. They nailed Him on a cross and mocked Him. That's what this world is. And Jesus said, if you will follow Me, they'll do the same to you. They'll hate you. They'll mock you. This is the world we live in. Oh, we can find a place that people will tell us what we want to hear, that will tell us little sweet things and make us feel comfortable and pleasant in this world. That's not going to save you from the wrath to come. That's not going to deliver you from Satan's lies and deception. We're in a battlefield. Christ came to the world. The world killed Him. And He warned us. He showed us while He was here that the only way out of this world is the way I show you. It's so difficult for us to get the idea of once saved, always saved, or saved, and then you just do all right for a while. It's not even about that. It's about getting on a path that's going to lead us out of this world and diligently following that path till we reach the top. Until we reach our destination. Straight is the gate, and few there be that find it. It's a narrow way. It's a hard way. Yet there's blessings on it, but it's still on that way. And if we don't press on to the end, we're not going to be found worthy. The Bible talks about those who that Christ will choose those who are worthy of His name. Whenever we look at the world and the people that are going along with it, you know, some people say that, oh, you're just condemning all of us whenever we go to places. And, oh, not everyone here is bad, they say. It's not about whether everyone there is bad. That's not the question. The question is if I'm looking like the world and acting like the world, walking with the world and having a good time with the world, what does God see when a whole crowd of people's walk in one direction? He sees a whole crowd of people. There might be really bad people in that crowd. There might be really good people in that crowd, but they're all still walking the same path and headed the same direction. It's not about which one's the worst of the crowd or which one might be a good person in the crowd. It's where is the crowd going and are you following it? That's what God sees. He sees a whole mob that's following after the devil's music and the devil's things. And they go chasing after him. He just sees a whole mob going after him. He's looking for one that's saying, I'm not going with the mob. I'm not going to go that direction. It doesn't mean they just all of a sudden are the best person in the world. But they've chosen not to follow the world's path. And they're following and listening to the path that Jesus has laid out in front of them. And they're going to be going against the world. What path are we on? Have we started and are we sliding downhill? I slid all the way down that hill with that truck. And it wasn't until the very end that it jackknifed. And but it didn't hurt anything. I didn't hit anything. There was trees on both sides of me. You know what I did? I went back out quite a bit further and got a bigger run at it and made it up the next time. But it was hard going down. And I could have not had another opportunity to go back up. But I did. If you're sliding down, you better keep her straight. You might not get an opportunity to run back up the hill. We're either going forward or we're going backwards. Don't get discouraged. That's why He told us we're in a war and we're in a battle. Take courage in our King. Back here in Revelation. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and Chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This world is about overcoming Satan and overcoming his temptations. It's not about just being a Christian or being saved or going to church. It's about overcoming Satan. We have the blood of the Lamb. We have the word of our testimony. Let us not love our lives. Let us love not our lives unto the death. The devil has come in great wrath and he knows that he has but a short time. Chapter 13. And he opened, verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given in him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Satan is trying to overcome you. It's an endurance race, an endurance test. Sometimes when we start out, we're pretty fresh and we're just really ready to run. Kind of fun when we start out. We're excited. We might find some new believers and we're all ready to go. We're all charged up. But the longer you go, a lot of that freshness and that newness and that fresh strength wears away. Pretty soon it just becomes work. And it's hard and it's not as fun as it used to be. And you even begin to wonder, where is God in all of this? And you begin to get doubts. And you begin to see more faults and problems in yourself. And you just don't have that courage just to stand up and overcome like you used to. And just wave after wave after wave keeps crashing against you. Satan is trying to overcome you. He that endures to the end shall be saved. It's not an easy road. It's not a pretty picture when you look ahead of you. But there is nothing to turn back to but sure destruction. Keep pressing on. Keep fighting the battle. If you get knocked down, get right back up. How's the song? Oh, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a war and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. I didn't start out to play. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. We're in a battlefield. And sometimes I get discouraged and sometimes I get beat up. And I just want to run. Just want to run away. Yeah, I feel like that too sometimes. But then I remember I wasn't forced to join this battle. I chose to. I chose to give my life to Jesus Christ. I chose to follow Him and allow Him to be the King of my life. And I chose to submit my life to His way. Even though some of the things He asked, I didn't really like. You know, if I went about on what I liked and what I didn't like, I'd probably be a pretty good Baptist. Or any other denomination. That's why there's so many different denominations. Because people are just choosing the little things they like or the little things they agree with. But if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, whether we like the things or not, let's be honest. If we're going to follow Him, we got to do what He says, whether we like it or not. And after a while, some of those things we'll begin to love. But there'll always be a few things that's just going to be pretty hard for you and for me. The devil will just come along and just, like an ocean waves, just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And they won't end until we cross that ocean. He knows that He has but a short time. This was written 2,000 years ago. Our time is but a span. It's just short. Seems like the years fly by, but the minutes go pretty slow, or the hours go pretty slow sometimes. Especially when we're being tempted. Or we're facing a hard time. Just remember, we've chosen this way. Remember why we chose it. Because we saw something in our King. We saw that He was worthy to be served. It's not easy humbling ourselves sometimes and just submitting ourselves, yielding to one another. It's not easy, men, for you to make those decisions that you have to make, and those choices that you have to make. But be a man. Stand up and fight the battle. Everybody may be against you. But Christ is for you. May not be easy for you women to have to submit and go along with what your husband says sometimes. That's all that God asks you to do. Just that one little thing. How your family turns out is not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility to keep your family fed. It's your responsibility to support your husband. It's not your responsibility to make sure everything just goes so-so. It's your responsibility to do it the way your husband wants it done and please him. I don't know how, it's been a while I think, but the responsibility belongs to the husband. He's the one responsible to God for how things turn out. And I don't know why God made it this way, but this is the way it is. But the power is in the woman's hands. The man has the responsibility, but the power of the home is in the woman's hands. And she can turn it whichever way she wants to. And if she does it her own way, she steps up and she is responsible for how it turns out. And when she steps up, it's out of order. You want to see your children go to hell? Women, step up. Take over. Figure out your way and do it the way you want to. And you'll watch your children one by one. Head right out of the world and right into hell. Children, you can do your own thing. You don't have to listen to your parents. You can think your parents are all fuddy-duddies and being too strict and too hard on you. It's up to you. You can do whatever you want. There's a devil that hates you and loves to see you rebel. There's a devil that just loves to tell you that you're your own person and you can do your own thing. The Bible says you are not your own. You are bought with a price. God isn't the bad one here. God isn't the mean one here. God isn't the cruel one here. There's a devil here that hates you. And wants to destroy you. Being a Christian ain't about just trying to keep God happy so He don't throw you in hell. Being a Christian is following Christ so the devil won't overcome you and have claim on your life. Being a Christian is standing out so that the Lord can look down in the crowd and say, "Hey, there's one of mine." His stamp is just like it was stamped on his forehead that said Jesus on it. And when people see him, they see Jesus. And when God sees him, He sees Jesus. He doesn't just see the one moving in the crowd doing their own thing. See, when God picks those who are worthy, when Christ picks those who are worthy, it's going to be those He can look down and say, "I've got my brand on that one. And I can see it all over him." And the devil can do the same thing on the judgment day. The devil's going to look and say, "Oh, he's mine. Look how they acted. Look how they did. They did their own thing. That means they're doing it my way. They're mine." Christ is a mediator, not between us and God's wrath. He's the lawyer with God for us against the accuser of this world. The accuser of the saints. And Christ is the mediator. No, He's got my name on Him. He's doing my way. May the Lord help us that we might be found worthy when we stand before Him. God, add His blessings. Father, we come before You, Lord, and we just thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us, Lord. Help us, Father, when we fall down to get right back up. Help us recognize the dangers and the traps, the deceit that is all around us. Help us keep our eye on the mark, Lord. Though wave after wave of attack come upon us, help us press on in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone have anything they'd like to share or add or correct?
Amen.